There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have y'all along. Fresh week to work with. Lots to do on today's show. We'll get to Todd Stacey in just a minute here. This is probably, you'll be hearing this in news reports throughout the hour, going forward throughout the day. The AP had broken this about 20 minutes ago, said that Hamas had announced that they had accepted that Egyptian Qatari brokered proposal for a ceasefire. Word had gone out that Hamas agreed to the ceasefire, but still nothing from the State Department and nothing from Israeli officials. So I don't know if the ink is completely dry on this. It's saying, well, Hamas has agreed to it. I don't know if Israel has as well. So we'll keep our eye on that. But yeah, we'll be looking for more news on that, as that's just coming out here within the last half hour. And, you know, these things can change. So I would say just hold back for a second on this. Coming up on the rest of the show today, we'll check in a Amtrak hearing. Aren't we done with this? My man John Sharp's going to join us later to talk about this going on in Mobile today. Another hearing on Amtrak. When will the train start running? We'll get into that. Plus, coming up in the second hour of the show, State Senator Greg Allbritton's going to join me, and he joined my buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, and he did it on Capital Journal. And he's already had a chance to talk to him. We'll get his take on it right now. When we say the hardest working man in Alabama media, the crowd goes wild for Todd Stacey. Hey, man.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good. So I guess, you know, there's nowhere to go. I have other questions. I do, believe it or not, have other questions about Alabama politics, but I would be silly if I didn't open up with where we are on gambling in the state with this. You know, I thought for a while there, the two houses or two bodies could come together. Then it looked like they were together. Then it was within one vote. And now where do we sit on this plan that came out of committee?
Yeah, well, you kind of described it pretty well, because we had all pretty much come to the realization that this thing was dead, right? And that's not just from me. I mean, I think most people thought, well, okay, there's no way they can come together. And
yeah, they're too different, right? I've been trying to explain to people last week. What gave me that thought was what the House plan was and what the Senate had said. They were pretty different.
Right, because conference committees happen all the time. That's when you have three members from the House, three members from the Senate. We're going to work out the differences between the two. They're doing it on the budget right now, the big education budget. This happens all the time, but usually the House and Senate aren't that far apart. On this, they were. The House plan was far more expansive, included sports betting, and included expansion of casinos. The Senate's was far more scaled back. And so, you know, how do you meet in the middle? But on Tuesday, the conference committee did produce a report. It was a compromise between the House and the Senate. I would say the Senate got a little more, but the House was willing to go along with it, passed it really quickly. Without a whole lot of fanfare. But in the Senate, they went till past 11 o'clock, almost to midnight, before voting on this thing. And, you know, typically when something like that happens, when a bill comes to the floor, you know, leadership doesn't put a bill on the floor unless they know they have the votes. That's typically the way it goes. And so it failed. It failed by one vote. Obviously, Senator Allbritton, his was a decisive vote against. But as he told me on Capital Journal, he already had told his colleague, he told his leadership that he was a no. And so he says that his vote was not a surprise to those in the chamber, but others may have been, you know, on the fence or whatever. But in any case, it fell one vote short. And so they can bring it back if they want. They can bring it back these remaining 3 days of session. They could always go back to conference committee and try to change it there. I think that's very unlikely. But here we are with three days to go and one vote away. So, you know, can somebody peel off a no vote to make it a yes vote? If they can, this thing passes. If they can't, it's yet another year of, failure on gambling.
Yeah, it's a full court press on this, to the point that they brought in Trump Jr. to push on this. I heard Jeff and Dale talking about it earlier, and I've said this for years, so I still believe it. This idea that if you attach Trump to it, then people are going to, I guess there are some people, but I've never been one of these people. I'd like, even when he was in office, I said, 80% of the time, 85% of the time, I agree with him wholeheartedly, but there are 15% I don't. This idea that even if somebody was a no vote, that they would change it because Trump Jr. pressured them, it seems childish to me.
Yeah, and you got to wonder when something like that, I mean, that's, I don't think he's doing that out of his own free will, right? There's got to be some kind of donation or something that happens. And again, no. It's Trump Jr.
No, really, Todd?
It's Trump Jr., so it's not Trump. I mean, look, if the former president of the United States and perhaps future president of the United States, Donald Trump himself, cut a radio ad or came out significantly and said, I really support this, then yeah, that might swing a vote or two. But a John Jr. tweet, I don't think is going to do it. But what was most interesting to me is that, you know, he's coming to Birmingham for that fundraiser. And so that's interesting. But no, I don't think that really moves the needle. But it does show you that the proponents of this gambling package are really pulling out all the stops that they can between now, or really starting last week. I saw a lot of advertising over the internet, a lot of these text message, we've been getting them for the election, these text message alerts pushing, call your senator, things like that. So they're getting pretty desperate to get this thing across the finish line.
And this thing, that's important too. I just called it at the end of Jeff's show, because he was railing how people say, well, they're voting on a lottery, and it's much more. I said they should call it lottery and friends, right? The lottery's a thing, but the friends are... my issue's been really one coming from a point of, can we do better? That this is the Diet Check Cola brand version of gambling, right? They're talking about video games. I call them video games. What, electronic games of chance out there. So are these going to be... I mean, and I heard a little bit of heard a lot of the conversation, the whole thing you had with Senator Albritton on Capitol Journal. And the whole time I'm making notes to myself saying, are we talking about like gambling kiosk here? Like there's no people, the whole thing is they're going to bring in, it's jobs and stuff, Todd. What, I mean.
Well, that's a good point. But yes, what the compromise plan had was electronic games of chance and video poker and slot machines at these non-Indian locations, right? Basically, mm-hmm. the old dog track casinos. Well, we know what a slot machine is. We know what video poker is, but other electronic games of chance, and the whole thing is, we can't have table games. That was the big point of contention. But, it's just because you don't have a dealer or a
gambling. I mean, right. It's like... It's
especially, think about AI and all how far these games have come. You could probably have a virtual dealer or, So that's this whole idea of video gambling or video poker, electronic gambling, is probably a lot more expansive than people realize just at the outset, certainly more than I did. I've had subsequent conversations. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Porch Greeks weren't too hot about it, right? Because, turning these other casinos into... it's all but table game casinos. While they don't have it, would obviously impact their business. So it might explain a lot. And is that something they can take out of the bill and, perhaps make it better for and earn a vote? So, yeah, that's a term of art that I don't think everybody really understands.
Yeah, it's they'll come out. It's like so many things that happen with government. They'll come out with a law, they'll pass an ordinance, and then the market figures out a way around it. We're still gonna, if this would pass, we'd still be gambling, but it'd be, I don't know, it'd just be a chintzy version of it.
Right, and so when we've kind of been here before, because okay, And part of the whole point behind this gambling effort, as proponents have said, is to really crack down on the illegal stuff that's out there in every little gas station in the country. Well, they're also saying we got to crack down all these bingo amendments, right? We're tired of all this bingo stuff. Well, that's the whole thing. So many counties across the state passed local legislation allowing them to play bingo, and they took that and turned it into what these giant casinos full of slot machines. So we've been here before when you take this legislative language that maybe people don't really understand, and suddenly we've got almost full-fledged casinos, just as long as there's no paper cards and paper, physical dealer. I think there's a lot more to that bill than meets the eye.
The budgets here, we're going to talk about the budgets with the $3.3 billion in general fund, and then the supplemental, and then the ETF as well. What's the supplemental here on the general fund?
Supplemental, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's about $250 million.
What's the, explain how that happens.
So that is from excess revenue that this fiscal year that we did not expect. And so, the budget that we're operating under this year was passed in last year's legislative session. And so they did their best to estimate, here's the revenue that's going to come in. And if revenue goes above that, then it can be, you can spend more of it in a supplemental that fiscal year. So more money going to the prisons, more money spread out through all the different state agencies because of money we did not expect. And the reason for that is, interest rates are high, and therefore all of Alabama's investments in trust funds, they're mm-hmm. getting a lot higher return. Also seeing a lot more come in on the online sales tax. Just, as people keep buying stuff online, the whole Amazon thing, that tax keeps going up. And so more revenue than they expected, which is a good thing, right? But it also shows, importantly, that they are not over budgeting and over committing the budget. And underestimates are a lot better than overestimates, because the opposite of surplus is proration, and we don't want that.
No, could they have just allocated that money to the new state house?
Well, so it's interesting. They're taking an approach with the state house of just kind of putting a little at a time, like $20 million at a time from the ETF, $20 million at a time from the general fund. Well, $40 bucks over 10 years, and you got yourself a $400 million state house.
Right.
So, slow and easy as it goes.
Where do we end up on that? Is it that RSA? Is it still where RSA is going to own it, and then we're going to lease to own or rent from them, or what? How is that laid out?
So there's an option there. RSA is going to own it, but that also means they're going to manage it, which is a big plus. The state will eventually have plenty of money to purchase the building and own the building and everything. The question will be, how long do they want to pay to manage it themselves? Or are we happy being, leasing, or at least have some kind of arrangement? Because we all know, RSA does things first class.
Mm-hmm.
So I think eventually they will pay the full price tag and own it. But that may be 10 years from now.
Okay, but this is something we will see. What is the projected grand opening, cutting the ribbon, all that kind of stuff?
I think the building will be finished sometime in 2026.
Wow.
But they're not going to move in until the first you'll see legislation passing there will be the organizational session. That means after the election in January of 2027. So still a long way to go, but I think we'll probably begin to see it take shape over the next year.
All right. We'll keep asking you about it as well. And people want to check out what we just talked about, the Capital Journal. They want to check out the TV show first. Tell them how to get that.
Yeah, that's really easy. The best way is just to go to YouTube. We have a YouTube channel where all of our episodes are up, and that's nightly during the legislative session. So just go to YouTube, search Capital Journal, and you'll find us there. You can even subscribe so you get alerted when a new episode comes. More and more people are doing the YouTube route, by the way. And we did. We went over the new drawings for the new state house mm-hmm. this week on the show.
So y'all can check it out there. And, of course, Alabama Daily News and this email that I get 6 days a week. How do people join me in the ranks?
Yeah, I think most of your listeners are probably signed up, but some of them might not be. So you want to get this newsletter. It's the great way to follow what's happening in the legislature and in Washington, but all from a fact-based and neutral, not a biased perspective. That's just aldailynews.com. You can sign up right on the homepage. It's free. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
Hey, Todd, as always, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there he goes, Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1224 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. The phone number, the text line, the same, 343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us a talk back message by using that microphone icon right there on the landing page, the front page, or whatever of that. All right, from the text line here, a buddy said, Sean, you've got all Britain on. Ask him why no table games, only slots, kind of like the RTD, ready to drink, that they said we couldn't buy in convenience stores, but are okay in ABC stores. Well, yes, and buddy, I'm with you on the RTD stuff, but that's no, Senator Albritton, it'll be interesting. He'll be on at 1:30. His take is more of what you're saying as well. It's that it only does certain things. It actually is not of benefit to the Portage Bandit Creek Indians. This is why they're not going to support this. And Jeff comes at, we all come at from different places. I'm actually open to the idea of giving licenses to, and that's plural, to many companies, plural, to conduct gambling in the state. If a constitutional amendment would change, I'm looking at the bill as it stands right now, and I just think it's chintzy, for lack of a better word. And it just is, it's like a really low rent version. I mean, if you're going to do it. Be like, oh, well, there will not be people doing the table game. So there's an electronic version of a table game, right? It's the same thing. Then just do it. Let's see here. People thought, yes, there has been, and I know we had, I think we mentioned it Friday, there's been a change in our national news service. Those people hearing it, yeah. So we've upgraded there. Let me know what you think about it on the text line at 343-0106. David says $250 million extra money to the state of Alabama this year that they weren't expecting. I know a $250 million road to the beach from I-65 that could use that money. And, yeah, well, they've allocated it. I was thinking more they'd be worried about saying that they weren't giving it back in the form of a rebate. Let's see, Joshua. I went to Tennessee over the weekend. Not only did I buy scratch-offs from the gas station, I bought my favorite vodka from an entrepreneur for a couple dollars cheaper than an ABC store. So shame on Alabama lawmakers. They're totally putting the screws on us. And this texture says, anyone who thinks slot machines are somehow better than table games are sadly mistaken. Computers are programmed to win. Statistics give the house the advantage with table games, but programming gives the machine the advantage. Yeah, that was what you could hear on the conversation I had with Jennifer Fidler. She was on, Representative Fidler was on, I think, Friday's show. I think that's right. And she said I think it was Friday. And she said after she came out of a meeting there that talked about how these electronic games would work, that they're programmed to always, they program an allowable percentage of winning. And I could go back, or you can go back and check out the podcast from Friday to see the amount. But yeah, that's a problem with it. That's a fair problem with it. But I mean, if you don't go, it doesn't matter, right? If you don't go gamble, that's like, it's not going to get me because I'm not going to gamble. I'm just saying, if we're going to do something in the state, have the marketplace make sure we have the best facilities. Let people compete. This place is, what we're talking about is a gambling utility for the state. I mean, with no reason to be nimble, no reason to innovate. Sean says, I just want to buy booze before noon on Sunday. And Jerry Fort Morgan said the best odds for the player are the table games. Okay, so if we're going to, I mean, dang it. This is, people say, well, you're pushing against it. I'm pushing against this bill. If we're going to do it, just do it. If somebody's going to get addicted to gambling, they'll get addicted to these things too. right? So why not, why not just, if we're going to have gambling, not do it right? Well, I don't think we're going to get it this year. But it's very close here, and I may be proven completely wrong. It's as close as I've ever seen it, and that's why we'll continue to have conversations about this. And like I said, at 1:30, one of those no votes, a person who carried the bill in the Senate, Senator Greg Allbritton, was a no vote, and he's going to join us at 1:30 to talk more about that. John Sharp joins us in just minutes. Lots to talk about with him. One of the things, too, is he is getting ready to go to a hearing for Amtrak. We haven't talked about Amtrak as long as gambling or the bridge in Alabama, but it's a close runner-up here. We'll get into that with John when we return right here on Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. As I mentioned at the start of the show, and you just heard the news update there, that Hamas has said they agreed to the ceasefire. Said, let's just wait a second here because nothing back from the State Department. Now I'm seeing that there will be some presser coming out of Israel at some point soon to respond to it. I mean, it was the Egyptian and Qatari brokered deal. Hamas says they're in, but that, I don't know if that means anybody else is. So as soon as we get some confirmation on that, we'll let you know. All right. The crowd goes wild for my friend, John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, man. You there? There we go. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. I want to, there's several stories, as always, you have over at AL.com people need to check out, but this is one that will be forthcoming, that there's a hearing going on for Amtrak coming up?
Yeah.
Again?
2 o'clock today.
What do we have yet to hear? What have we not heard?
Well, now let's back this up a little bit. Back the train up. This is the first hearing in Mobile involving Mobile city government on Amtrak since right before the pandemic. I mean, it literally happened. The council voted 6-1, I think it was, to authorize at the time an operations agreement to basically dedicate a certain amount of money for the operations of the Gulf Coast Rail. That happened, and then right within, you know, next 3 weeks, we entered the pandemic. So here we are, several years later, and the Zoning Board of Adjustments gets its crack at the Amtrak puzzle. And today at 2 o'clock, there will be a meeting on the proposal to have a train depot at Government and Water Streets. That's basically it in a nutshell. We'll see what the Zoning Board of Adjustments wants to discuss regarding that. I don't often cover that group, so we'll see how they view this issue.
You and I have been truly talking about this for years out there. This proposal for the train station or whatever we're going to call it, I remember that. I think I remember back then the city said, "Well, I mean, we could put up like a." Just a boarding ramp or something like that. Is this going to be more? Is the city investing in a big fancy facility? And this is going to be right there by the, you said Government and Water Street. So it's going to be by the Gulf Quest or where exactly?
Yeah, by Cooper Riverside Park and folks, and this kind of predates me a little bit, but where the old Amtrak or where the old train station was at. Mm-hmm. Before it was destroyed. It's right in that vicinity, and they call it kind of a legacy site for Amtrak. That's where it would be located. And no, it's nothing that I believe it calls for any kind of fancy new building or structure. It is essentially going to be a train stop along there. Now, that's not to say in the future they may not add more to it, but at this point in time, from my understanding, it's what Amtrak is looking at as far as what they call it, a train depot, a train stop. Perhaps there might be some covered awnings there for people to protect themselves from the weather, but it's nothing that's going to be elaborate by any means. And so that's you know, a decision the Board of Adjustments will make. Now, the City Council still has to make the ultimate decision on whether or not they want to dedicate any kind of funding for the operations of this New Orleans to Mobile route. And that is not on the agenda yet. We don't know when that's coming, but I could anticipate it coming soon, because Amtrak has indicated to the Surface Transportation Board that they want to be prepared for a dismissal of this case, the federal case that they have against CSX and Norfolk Southern, and be ready to dismiss that within the next, my understanding, by the end of the month of May. So it'll be interesting. We should be able to find out more of a timeline today. I think that's that's always the issue, the timeline. But we should find out more where that stands, hopefully today after this afternoon's meeting.
And for people who did, that disagreement was about use of the tracks, right? The tracks that belong to the commercial carriers and how much Amtrak can use them, right? And why.
Right, that Surface Transportation Board hearing from a couple of years ago, it's generated some national attention because of, they want to see what kind of precedence this sets where Amtrak utilizes the rail lines that are utilized and operated on by the freight companies like CSX and Norfolk Southern. And so there's been a lot of attention on this case, but it has been stalled out for a while now. And, I've written some stories. Surface Transportation Board called all the parties in a couple months ago and kind of scolded Amtrak about the, kind of the slow pace that this is going in. Seem to be a little bit frustrated that the lack of progress this project has taken. So, hopefully today we'll get some revised updates as far as timelines go again on this project.
Well, we all be looking for your story when it posts. Speaking of stories you have up, this, you did the best job out there, because when this came up last week, I was hearing bits and pieces and seeing on social media and people out of Montgomery calling me, and you wrote the story about this bill that was brought by local state senator Vivian Figures, SB 305, that was to give 8 weeks of paid parental leave for people who work for the state, right?
Yes, that's correct. Primarily teachers,
and they don't get any now. They get zero, the way I understood.
Yeah, that's correct. And I don't want to get into nuances of that, but that's essentially it. Yeah, they don't have. There is no guaranteed amount of time for paid parental leave, and that's where Senator Figures is coming from. Her frustrations, and she says she just found out about that not that long ago, and it spurred her to sponsor this legislation. Which I was up in Montgomery last week. I'll be in Montgomery again this week. We're at the finality of the legislative session. A whole lot goes on always at the end. And this was one of the bills that came up, and it kind of sparked, it was one of those surprises, and you didn't anticipate this bill sparking the emotion that it did, but it did. And from Senator Figures on the Senate floor, to the point where she said, well, maybe I ought to just resign my position and advocate for women's health issues. She was frustrated. And basically what had happened is the bill got pulled, and it was debated on, it was voted on the Senate floor. And then at the end, Senate President Pro Tem Greg Reed said, well, I'm not transmitting it over to the House. And he said it in a really nice way. I respect what you do. I respect this bill. This is not going any further than this point forward. And I think there was a belief during the debate on the Senate floor that, the House is not with a small amount of time left in the session, the House was not going to take this bill up. I think there's some questions that were being raised on how much it would cost. It would cost the state to do 8 weeks of parental leave. And there was a lot of different numbers floated out there. It didn't seem like anything hard and concrete yet. And knowing the state and Senator Arthur Orr, very conservative with the ETF fund, and he was concerned how much the cost might be as well. But the Senate did vote in support of this on the Senate floor, rather emphatically. I think it was a 28-2 vote, and then at the end, for the Senate President Pro Tem to say, "Well, it's not going anywhere beyond this. I'm not transmitting it." That that sparked some emotional responses from Senator Figures, and it's all in the story I wrote from her comments, and she made some pretty strong comments during the mm-hmm. floor debate as well.
Yeah, I was trying to, and I do see the fact that it may don't have time to get it through. It seemed like, I guess, when I was getting the bits and pieces to, I read your story, it was seems like it was, you know, they'll put things on ice in Montgomery or let time run out. Be like, yeah, we're going to get to that. And then they let time run out and say, oh, sorry, I didn't get to that. So they don't have to take a vote.
Well, they did take a vote on the Senate.
But the
floor.
House side. But yeah. The House side.
It yeah, never, on the House yeah. side, it's right. You know, there's one, like you said, there's only about 3 days left in the session. The question is whether or not they'll sign a die this week or go into next week. With one more day hanging, and I'm going up there this week. We'll see what happens. I think there's a lot of attention right now on gambling and lottery.
You
where
think?
That might go. Yeah. There's a few other bills that are sparking some interest, some issues. You know, you got ethics out there this week. That's going to, seems like that's going to take up a lot of steam as well. So I don't know. I will you know, one vote away on gambling and lottery, and that's, you know, kind of, it's the big cloud hanging over the session right now.
Yeah, and so speaking of which, too, I want to get into this kind of, what this committee came out with, which is not, it's not full gamble, it's electronics, and we can get in the details, but with that being laid out, do they have time to get something that big move one way or another in 3 days, or do you think they sign a die without doing this, and then the governor calls some special on this?
Yeah, that's the rumor out there, a possible special that might be called, but I don't, you know, there's nothing confirmed on that. So, but, yeah, I mean, when you're down to one vote away, I mean, it tells you right there, this thing's close to happening for the first time since, what, 1999 was the last mm-hmm. time we voted on any kind of game.
But that was just lottery, if I remember it back then.
Yeah.
So we're comparing, well, I mean, apples and, right. and dachshunds here, you know?
Right. But it's been entangled with casino gambling for years, and mm-hmm. that's kind of where we're at. It's all entangled with all these various special interests, and it's trying to get everything lined up and find that perfect antidote to get that bill through. And, you know, we're one vote away in the Senate. So you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, whose phone's going off the hook versus the others. Now, one of the things I saw, I mean, I'm a Baldwin County resident, and I had text message basically from a political action committee basically saying, Senator Elliott, you need to, you know, pushing him to vote, to switch his vote from no to yes. He's one of the three that actually voted, Senator Chris Elliott, he was one of the three that voted in support of a previous version mm-hmm. of the gambling and lottery package that was prior to it going in the conference committee and being the bill that we're looking at now.
Right, and that's the fair thing to say, right? Because I have Senator Albritton coming on, and people say, well, here's the guy that carried the bill in the Senate. But what, it's not like it's a mirror image that came out of the conference committee. So to say, hey, you voted yes once and now you're voting no, I don't, you know, you change things.
That's correct. Well, and that's fair. That's definitely fair. There are not a lot of votes, though, that switched one way or the other, though, at the end. I mean, there were those three that have been pointed out, Senator Albritton, Senator Elliott, and Senator Lance Bell. And so, last 3 days of session, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, whose votes could change? Will this even come back up? We don't know yet. And again, you know, you got an ethics bill out there that's going to take up a lot of steam in the legislature in the last 3 days.
That's for sure. Do you think, do you feel that any kind of tweet from Trump Jr. moves the needle at all with misspellings
well, I mean,
at all?
Supposedly he's in Alabama this week, and I wish I knew exactly where he'll be.
He's going to be, I think, a fundraiser, right? He's something coming in. Was it Birmingham or Montgomery? That he was coming.
Well, if he's in Montgomery, he could come right on over to the State House, and he could do his own lobbying. I mean, that'd be fascinating. I mean, I would be unseen before. I don't think we've had. And if he brings his father, you know, we haven't had a president that spoken in the State House since Ronald Reagan. Of course, that was more of an event, you know, than it was trying to push a particular legislative matter through. So you never know. The last few days.
There you go. John, people want to get more about what we're talking about. How do they find you online? And you specifically, if they want to reach out to you on X.
Yeah, X at johnsharp99, AL.com. As always, my stories are not hard to find.
All right, and we'll be waiting around for what happens at the Amtrak hearing today, so I'm waiting for that update.
Catch the train.
That's right. All right, there he goes, John Sharp. Thanks, man.
All right, John.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. On this pretty nice looking Monday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, where we're always talking inventory and bunches of it.
Well, Sean, you know, we've always had a good selection of trucks out here, and we don't talk about trucks a whole lot. We've been talking about financing, and we've always kept trucks. But right now, we've got a great selection of trucks. We've got three Nissan Frontiers on the ground. We've got five GMC Sierras. We've got six Ford trucks. We've got three Silverados on the ground. We got a GMC 3/4 ton on the ground. So we have got pretty much anything you could want in the truck in any make or model. We got two Rams. One Ram's got 57,000 miles. The other one's under 100. Just put a new set of tires on one of them. So we've got the inventory right now.
All right. People want to check out those trucks and the other vehicles that aren't trucks that I know some people like. How do they look at the inventory?
You go to lcmmotorcars.com and see all the inventory. If you get there and you don't see a picture that you're curious about, just call us. We'll text you a picture of whatever you want to see, a video, FaceTime you. Come see us at in person at 5711 Highway 90. That's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A in Theodore. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Check in on some text here. Let me get into this stack here. Let's see. Dirt Digger says, why don't we use the underside of the convention center? Yeah, I've wondered that. There was a reason. And I Dirt Digger, I don't remember, but you're talking about the tunnel area there, right, where the train goes through? I don't remember. I know there's always seems to be people will ask, why not the GM&O building? And there were many reasons logistically that they couldn't use what was once made for trains. Didn't the House pass a similar parental bill already? HB 309. I'll check into that texture. I do not know. They were saying that, and I don't know if it was going to go to committee. The argument being made, and hopefully we'll get Senator Orr on the show. I texted him this morning to talk about it, because SB 305 was this paid parental leave for state employees, women in the state. And in this, they made some good points that you can't even get the kid into any kind of program until they're, I think, 9 weeks old. So what about, you know, having at least that period of time, 8 weeks to get ready, but it didn't even get to go into the House. So maybe you're right. Maybe there was a similar bill in the House. I did not see discussion of that, but I will look. We can look that up. I think Allison, which is the state's, if y'all go and you look at Alabama State Bills or whatever, you'll find a website called Allison where there's not even the news take on it. It's just the raw material of bills and pre-filed bills and all that good stuff. It's pretty useful, actually. Damn Yankee says, between gaming, education, roads, bridges, and prisons, the state of Alabama is in a dumpster fire. What's the problem? It's got to be our politicians and political corruption. Adam says, the reason a special exception is needed is due to new requirements contained in the city's new... Oh, I'm sorry, we went back here. Okay. Adam says, Sean, what the board is hearing today from CSX is a request for a special exemption to allow a temporary platform to be built at the site. A special exemption is essentially a variance to allow the platform in this location due to the property's zoning classification. Well, this is not exciting stuff, Adam. This is real world, isn't it? It said the reason special exemption is needed is due to new requirements contained in the city's new unified development code. Adam just bringing in facts and stuff like that. Where's the drama in that? Thank you, Adam, for that update. Still wondering when we'll actually see this happening. I think John Sharp and I have been talking 8 years about this, 7 years, something about the Amtrak deal. Oh, and the commentary from this morning for the drama, the story that Dan and Dalton had about the national pickle shortage and tied to extreme weather in Mexican extremities, extreme weather, that it was hot in some areas, cold in some areas. It messed up, I guess, the cucumber harvest. That's what, I don't know if people know, that's what you have to have to be able to get pickles. You have to have the cucumbers first, which I've got one in my garden that's probably, I don't know, 2 weeks away from going. The rest of them are still growing, vining up. Garden's looking good. But in that conversation, I heard that, you know, it was that this reason is because the supply chain and the weather in Mexico. The other problem was this consumption of pickles that was going through the roof. And there was mention of people that have really eat a lot of the pickles, like that have already been sliced up, the ready to go, the RTGPs, ready to go pickles. And I felt like I was being picked on there. And indeed, I am guilty of it because I was not a pickle eater really, other than occasionally a slice of a pickle with a sandwich or something like that when they give it to you on the side. But when the geniuses in the lab coat somewhere said, hey, why don't we take pickles and soak them in jalapeno juice? And then I came around. And I know there are other manufacturers. I'm not plugging for them, but the Hottie Bites. If you go into your local Dollar General and they're all sold out, it's because I was there right before you. So just putting it out there. So yes, I'm part of the pickle problem, I guess, which puts us all in a jam. What? Oh, you thought I was going to say pickle? Nah. All right, be right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile.